Philippians 3:12. That's a t-shirt. I might be long-winded. That'll keep people from talking to you. No, I'm just playing. That's funny. Philippians 3:12. When you have it, please say amen. Philippians 3:12. Amen. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Amplified, not that I have already obtained it, this goal of being Christ-like. Like that, right? Not that I have already obtained it, this goal of being Christ-like, or have already been made perfect, but I actively press on so that I may take hold of that perfection, which is Christ Jesus, which Christ Jesus took hold of me and made me his own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it on my own yet. This is Paul right here, right? This is for us who set a standard, and if that standard is not met, then it's immediately met with discouragement or we beat ourselves down. This is for those of you who struggle with self-condemnation. This is the Apostle Paul, and in my eyes, I think Paul was one of the most renowned disciples because when he went, he went. When it was time to go, he'd go. When it was time to let go, he let go. He wasn't like people today where he had to have companionship. He didn't care about all of that. When he got a hold of this thing, he went and he took off, and when he took off, he went all the way until it was time for him to die, and he was still writing and penning the epistles even until his death. Before they killed him, he was still penning the epistles that you and I preach and teach from, that we read. He was still penning it, knowing he was going to die. But here's his words. He's saying, brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it on my own yet. But one thing that I do, forgetting what lies behind me and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature, pursuing spiritual perfection. All of us who are mature, maturity is pursuing spiritual perfection. I ain't even start preaching yet. I could stop right there. Right? Spirituality is pursuing perfection, spiritual perfection. So what that means is I got to let some things go. That means the things that I know that are a hindrance or a stumbling block to my neighbor, I got to let it go. That means if I want to smoke a little weed around people that don't smoke, I'm going to preach. I'm going to let it go. That means that when they're around and I know that they don't do it, I can't be the stumbling block. I need to put the weed up. If I drink and I'm around people that I know that are pursuing perfection, that are pursuing spirituality, I need to put those things up or I need to become like them. That's what the scripture is saying. See, I don't know about y'all, but I don't come to church to play church. When I wake up and I put my feet to the pavement, I say, Lord, I need you today. If my body ain't right or if something's not right, Lord, I know I can go to you because you're the one who can fix it. You see, I don't play with God. Oh, hallelujah. Let's keep reading. Pastor Marquise ain't preaching yet, right? So all of us who are mature, let's read that together. All of us who are mature, who considers themselves mature? Raise your hand. Don't raise it and you ain't mature. This ain't no showboat thing. You're going to get there, amen? We're going to speak it. Because maturity is pursuing spiritual perfection. Don't raise your hand if you're not pursuing spiritual perfection. If you're not pursuing change, don't raise your hand right now. We're going to preach that up out of you today. Should have this attitude. All of us who are spiritually mature, pursuing spiritual perfection, should have this attitude. That's a mindset. I'm going to preach it now so I don't have to come back to it in the closing. That's the mindset that he's talking about. This is the mindset that you have to own, that you have to obtain. Everybody still with me? Am I making sense to everybody? This mindset, and if any respect you have a different attitude, that to God will make clear to you. So that means that if, here, this is this, let me let you know right here, I'm not picking on anybody, right? But Paul's saying that God is going to make it clear to you what is affecting your attitude and your mindset. You see, we've lost people in church all because of this right here, this one thing. Because when God comes to you and say, that woman is not for you, that man is not for you, God says, stay away from this or stay away from that. He's revealing to you what's in your heart. He's revealing to you what's in your mindset that's going to stop you from moving forward, or it's going to bring you to a place of calamity. But we still want to run and go and touch the fire when God was trying to protect you the whole time. It's because of the mindset. And I'm going to use that as my topic today. I got my mind made up. I can breathe now. I got my mind made up. I'm not just in church playing church. I'm not just coming to church to go through the motions. I got my mind made up that I want spiritual perfection. I got my mind made up that I want to be something on behalf of a living God. I got my mind made up that I'm going to be healed. I got my mind made up that I'm going to be renewed. I got my mind made up that God is going to make me whole. I got my mind made up. Father, in the name of Jesus, finish what you started. We glorify you. We thank you. We love you. Thank you all. You may be seated. As a younger father, I'm going to tell you one of the biggest mistakes that I made is making my kids do something. Now, I know that the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should grow, and when he grows old, they should not depart from it, right? They don't know the word of God. Those are things that we do. When you're training up your child, you tell them, don't do this, don't do that. You try to keep them away from the fire. That's what we do as parents, amen? None of us want our children to experience what we've experienced. If you do and you cool with it, then something is wrong with your parenting. If you want your kid to turn up and be promiscuous, something is wrong with your parenting. If you cool with, I ain't going there. Something is wrong with parenting if we don't try to steer our kids away from the things that we knew were problems or issues or caused us issues when we were younger, amen, that we didn't have so great an outcome. So we try to steer them away from that as a parent. You know, sometimes your parents aren't just on your nerves because they're telling you something to do. They're telling you something because they've already been there and they've already done it. See, spiritual perfection is a mindset that understands what life really means. It means that I only have a certain amount of time to live. Whether you're 15, whether you're 8 years old, it doesn't matter because you don't know how much time you really do have on this earth. Should the Lord not be graceful and merciful and take you, how do you maximize that time? See, a wise man is spiritual perfection and a great mindset, and the right mindset, meaning I got my mind made up. It means that my mama told me that there was fire at the end of the block. That means I need to go a different direction. Y'all see, y'all didn't catch that, right? See, if my mom comes and tells me that, baby, that's going to hurt you, then I need to, y'all kind of get it, right? So as a father, as a young father, or a young couple raising kids, there are things that we told our kids they can't do. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. No to this. No to that. And so on and so forth. But the issue was when we were saying it, they didn't have their minds made up in that moment that that's what they really wanted to do. So when you don't have your mind made up, what happens is it begins to work the opposite. It works in opposition. Because I'm telling you, you can do this or don't do that in the name of Jesus. And you can reject that word. Oh, hallelujah. Have some of y'all, we come up to you and we say, Jesus said don't do this and don't do that. And be honest. When you went, you did it anyway. Oh, you got burnt up real quick, right? It was hard for you to come back and repent because you didn't want to look at nobody and say, hey, y'all was right, because you thought they was going to say something or rub it in your face. Amen? But as young parents, we made them do stuff when their mindset wasn't right. Their minds wasn't right. Don't do this. Don't do that. And when we're doing it all in the name of Jesus, and then when they start rejecting it, guess what? They start rebelling. The rebellion comes in. They don't want to do it. And see, when you're a parent, you get smoother with it when you get down to the youngest one. By the time you get to the youngest one, you should have your juices together. I'm going to tell you straight up, especially if they got some distance, you know. You should have it all together. Your juice should be juiced. Yeah. Your parenting should be lit, right? For real. You should. Oh, yeah, I already know, right? So from the top to the bottom, I remember the Lord saying that it was going to get easier from the top to the second one, and then the third. And the second one, he was going to vacillate between the two. But once the third one was gone, he was going to get it together, and then there was the youngest one, right? But the difference by that time, we had evolved as parents, and people be looking, don't do this the same way that you did them. And if that was me, this would have happened. Yeah, you're right, because I was a different person then, right? But see, when you're moving and trying to obtain spiritual perfection, God is changing your mindset and how you deal with situations. So the way I dealt with it back then is not the way that I'm going to deal with it now. So what did we do? Coming down to the last two, we said, you know what? I ain't going to walk your walk for God for you. You're going to do it on your own. I'm not going to make you serve him. I'm not going to make you do right. You make up your own decisions. But you got to remember, I'm going to tell you that there's fire at the end of the street. Jesus can help you to avoid it, or you can go and touch the fire and you can burn. But that's on you. But when it's all said and done, I'll be here. Let me know how that works out for you. So they was like, oh, so surely but surely God started becoming who he needed to be in their life. You see, that's the ebbs and flows. I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. You see, as a parent, when your mindset is right, then you understand that there's a transition where you got to give your power that you had before in the parenting. When you dedicated your kids, now you're turning it over to God, and you can say, okay, Lord, now it's time for them to walk with you now that they have their minds made up. It's a transition. They're ready for it. So when I asked you to raise your hand and say, I got my mind made up. If your mind ain't made up when you leave today, I'm talking to adults too, not just kids. If your mind ain't made up that this is really what you want, my prayer for you today is that you go home and you make it up. You get your mind made up that you got a foot in this thing, right? When I came into the church, well, let me back up a little bit. When it comes to having your mind made up, it's kind of like you've lived in Denver all your life. Hey, amen. I know some of y'all would get up out of here in a heartbeat. If it wasn't for y'all, I love y'all dearly. But if I didn't have y'all, I'd have chunked Colorado a deuce a long time ago, you know. Colorado is cool. I love it. It's home. But, you know, there are places that are better. But when your mind is made up, it's like you've lived somewhere your whole life. And you pack all that stuff up and you say, I'm going to Texas, right? So I'm taking it. Oh, my bag. Let me use something else because Tisha be talking about that all the time. She's like, talk about Texas. You don't want that stuff. No. I don't know about Tish. She quiet, but she get lied. Tish is funny, right? She's got to get to know your sister because she's funny, for real. But you pack your stuff up and you move to a different location. And when you get there, there's one thing that has to be in place, and that's your mindset, that you're ready to plant your feet here and you're ready to dive in and find the provision and get the provision, the victual, everything that you need, right? And then you begin to contribute to that society or whatever it is that you do, but your mind has to be made up, right? So that means that when your mind is made up and you've relocated and you've taken that thing somewhere else, when your mind is made up, when you start having homesickness, I'm missing home and I want to go back. Your mind made up is I miss home, but I'm not going back. I'm pressing forward. I'm looking towards the things that God has for me, right? So that means that it was bad for me for the first year and for the second year. And now you got people that be like, I've been here like 10 years, so this is where I live. This is home. I'm claiming it, and I'm owning it. I'm from Colorado, but Texas is my home, right? That's where people develop that mindset, because when they moved and they relocated, they forgot everything that was there, and they planted somewhere new, and they started all over again with no thoughts of going back to the old. You see, when Jesus came and brought you to a place of repentance, and you came to the altar and you said, Lord, I repent. I understand that I got sin in my life.
And I repented in the name of Jesus. And I went down in that water grave, and the Lord covered me and washed my sins away. And then when I came up, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I began to speak in other tongues, at that moment, the Lord was saying that you're ready to change addresses. That means that you're no longer the same person. Get up. You got to become something new. You got to pursue spiritual greatness. You got to pursue spiritual maturity. You got to become something different. Why did he give you the Holy Ghost to begin with? It's because he knew that he can trust you with it. Instead of letting the Holy Ghost remain, instead of leaving the Holy Ghost behind, wherever you go, you take it with you to be a guidance to get you out of what you're ready to go get involved in. When I was served God, I had my mind made up. I'm done. When I got saved, I said, I'm done. When I gave everything away like the Lord said, I was done. I had people look at us and say, you're dumb, you're foolish, you stupid. You giving cars and houses that you own away and kitchens and you doing all this and you were stupid. But guess what? The Lord said, do it. And no matter what they say, I have to go with what God says. I had to have my mind made up. And see, I had that mindset that nothing is going to happen to me. I'm going to be cool. Amen. I'm going to be all right. You see, that was the exciting part about serving God, is because you knew if he told you to get rid of something, he had something in exchange for it. Right? It may not have came when I wanted it to come, but he was always faithful. Ain't that right, Sister Risa? He was always faithful, and he always showed up when I needed it. So I was reading the book of Numbers with my wife, and everybody, you've been reading your daily bread, right? So you should be able to follow with me. So I was reading Numbers. And I always read the scripture. I try to, when I go back and read it, I'll read it with a different set of lenses, amen? And JZL mentioned it in fellowship that he's starting to read the Bible and he tries to look at it from a different perspective or from God's perspective, amen? So I was reading the scripture, but I start looking at it from God's point of view, right? Now, y'all walk with me with this, right? God tells Abraham that your people are going to be in bondage by Egypt, basically a sinful nation. Amen. Egypt is synopsis for sin. Everybody still with me, right? Egypt means sin, right? It's a shadow of the things to come. Your people are going to be in bondage to sin. Why? Because basically his wife reversed the order of things. For those of you that don't know, basically Sarah was going to give seed to the promise, but what ends up happening is because she couldn't have a child and she was barren, she forced the hand and she basically gave Hagar to Abraham to go into, and then Hagar has Ishmael, and then after Ishmael is born, the Lord comes and he speaks to her, and then Sarah's impregnated and she gives birth to Isaac. Everybody still with me, right? You've been reading this in your daily bread. So what happens now is because she got impatient and she wasn't willing to wait on the things of God. Y'all get where I'm going with this? Because Hagar was her slave. Right? Now here, let me give you a little more backdrop. Hagar's the mother of the Egyptians. She's the mother of, look her name up. Right? She's the mother of the Egyptians. So she's one of the mothers of a sinful nation. So she was in bondage to the Israelites. She was in bondage to Abraham. Remember the Lord saying that he's going to make the earth his footstool, but sin won't have dominion over you. You see, that's how it was in the beginning. Right? He had dominion over sin. She was her slave. Hagar was the slave to Israel. Everybody still with me? Right? But she got impatient because she couldn't have a child. Woo! See, I can stop right there. We can get to the altar call. But my brother said it earlier, I had to get out of the way in order for God to provide the miracle, right? I had to get out of the way so that God can move. So if Sarah would have got out of the way, the children of Israel would never have been in bondage for 400 plus years. But because she was but because she didn't get out of the way and she forces the hand of Hagar, then the roles was reversed. So basically the children of Israel or the children of Isaac basically became slaves of the children of Ishmael. Right? So fast forwarding to the book of Numbers, I'm reading with my wife and we're going back and forth about the scripture, and we always have a conversation sometimes. But I went back and I was reading it, and as I was reading it, I put myself in the eyes of God. And so I was thinking, I said, okay, Lord, you had to have been excited. You had to have been excited. Why? Because you created a peculiar people that was for you. Right? You created a peculiar people. Check this out. This is dope, right? God creates a peculiar people that's specific for him. I created my own people. They're mine. They belong to me. They're mine. So let me tell you what that word peculiar means. That word peculiar means different. Everybody say it with me. Different. Not like what the world say you're supposed to be. Not doing what everybody else is doing. He says you're supposed to be what? That's what peculiar means. To be different and to be unusual. That means that people supposed to say you that Christian. You're that Christian girl. That means that you're different. That means you're not walking through the school and while they firing up, they know that's the Christian girl. We're going to keep it away from her. See, that's different. That's nothing to be ashamed of because that's peculiar, right? So God creates a peculiar people. It's my people. They're mine. They belong to me, right? And so they go into bondage because of what Sarah does, right? They go into bondage. Walk with me through this, right? They go into bondage. They're enslaved by sin. 400 years of being a slave to a sinful nation. And then I thought about the excitement that God must have had that when he heard all of the cries of the oppression of his people. Oh, my God, we're doing this. They're killing them, as a matter of fact. They try to kill the babies. Some of them lost their lives serving this nation. Just kind of like today, a lot of people die in sin because they don't want to come out of it. And you got people who get diseases and things from sex and so on and so forth that God didn't heal them from when they tried to get involved in church because it was a constant reminder of where they had been. Oh, hallelujah. And he didn't deliver it just to remind them of what they got themselves entangled in. But I'm not going to go there, but I'm going to go back to what I was talking about. 430 years of being bound by a sinful nation. And the Lord's excited. I'm about to bring them out. I'm going to bring them out, but I ain't going to bring them out quickly. Instead of bringing them out quickly, I'm going to do it slowly, piece by piece, so that they can see how powerful and mighty I am. Why? Because I don't want them to just be peculiar. I want them to have their mind made up that it's me that they want. I just want them to want me. So what happens? You got the 12 plagues of Egypt, or 10, I'm sorry. You got the 10 plagues of Egypt. You know, each one was a stepping stone until he took them, right? And then he delivers them out of bondage, and he takes them to the Red Sea. The Red Sea parts, and they walk over on dry land, and that sin is still chasing them. Woo! See, when God parted the waters for you when you was baptized, that sin ain't going to just leave you alone. It's going to chase you. And I guarantee you, if they would have stopped and they would have went back and they would have went to Egypt, guess what? They would have killed them. They was going to die for it. They might have kept a few because they needed some stuff, but they was going to die. You see, you might have been saved and you might get to run and you might have tried to get to pursue spiritual maturity. But when you look back, Paul said, don't look back. Why? Because there's death when you look back. You're going to die out there. Something is going to die. Now, you might not be a physical death, but something is going to die. So I bring them out. They go over on dry land. They get over, and they come on the other side, and they see a big God speak.
speaking through a cloud. Can y'all imagine that? If we walked outside and God said, my children, go back in the sanctuary and worship me some more. I'm running. At night, that fire, you better not pick up that weed. You better not go to the club. We be moving different. I know I would. I'd be moving different, right? See, my mama had this look. How many of you know about them looks? You know, how many of you know about them looks? Sister Kathy, did you get them looks? Did you have a look? Right? You even develop your own when you become a parent, right? But you get them looks. My mama look at me. Get away from her, buddy. I know she got something for me. Let me get away from her. I'll go talk to my dad because, you know, he ain't like that. He don't move like that. He cool. Talk to dad. Man, what's wrong with your wife? But you get them looks, right? We move different if God was to really move like he did in the Old Testament. But back to what I was saying. So here they are. He leads them out of the wilderness or out of the Egypt, and his purpose is to take them to somewhere special that he had prepared for them. He's excited. You know, that's why when you look at like marriages and things like that, everybody want to get to the honeymoon. But let me tell you something, the honeymoon is not the destination. Right? Because you're going to get past the looks, you're going to get past all of that, and you're going to get to the attitudes and the trying to become one flesh, and you're going to get to all the good stuff that's in the marriage, right? And then you get to the promised land. You see, what I'm trying to point you to is that it takes work in order to obtain the things of God. It don't just happen because you want it, but God brings them all the way out of Egypt into the wilderness, and his purpose is to take them to a land that flows with milk and honey, but because their mindset is not correct, it stops right there. He couldn't take bad mindsets into the promised land. Let's go into the word of God, right? So Moses gathers the elders of Israel because what happens is he takes them into the wilderness, and the children of Israel, they begin to murmur and they begin to complain, which I'm going to tell the story a little backwards, right? And I'm going to read, but I'm going to tell some and I want to read because there's things that I want to point out, right? So Moses overhears them complaining. Y'all read that, right? He overhears them complaining in the tent. Well, we had this in Egypt, and we had that in Egypt, and we could have won in Egypt, and we had cucumbers in Egypt, and we had I know a young man that came to me and said, I don't want to serve God because I see how they get it out here. Well, guess what? You can't get it like how they get it out there because you know God and they don't. That's the difference. If you didn't want to do it God's way, you shouldn't have came to this altar. You should have never came here. This is the wrong place for you if you didn't want to do it God's way and you wanted to do it your own way. Because I guarantee that if you don't do it God's way, something's going to happen. So I could have had this and I could have had that. And the Bible says that Moses gets irritated and Moses goes to God and he starts talking to God about it. And then God brings him in my scriptural reference. The Bible says that he brings the elders in. And when he brings the elders in, the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel who thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation that they may stand there with thee. Right. So right off back, this is what the Lord is dealing with, right? So the first thing he does is he understands that the people don't want me. He already knows that right now. They don't want me. They want something that they can tangibly see, that they can tangibly hold. So all the people is putting the pressure on Moses because I can touch him, I can see him, I can talk to him face to face. So all the pressure is on Moses. So the first thing that the Lord starts doing is he says, bring me the elders so I can take the dependency on Moses off. Why? Because they don't want me. Oh, I'm preaching right now. You want the man, but you don't want God. You want the woman, but you don't want God. That's why we tell them you take the man or the woman to God first so that he can verify if the man or the woman is really for you. But we don't want to do that. So he tells them, bring me 70 people because the Lord is building Moses a support system. Right? The only way to help some of them to make up their minds, this is the great part, is to put them to work.
See, the reason why you got all that sin and you're not pursuing spiritual perfection is because you ain't doing nothing in the church. You ain't working. Everything else has your attention. But the moment you go to work, suddenly some of the things that you entangled in don't move and don't feel the same way. So observe this. Scholars estimate they don't know for sure, but there could be 30,000 to 2 million people that Moses was responsible for bringing out of Egypt, right? So let's take the smaller number, 30,000. You take one-third of 30,000, that's, tell them, Brendan, there we go. That's 10,000. And you take 10,000 people that murmur and complain against a big God. How does it affect the other 20,000? And then they wonder why the Lord start removing them and getting rid of them. Why? Because I can't take that mindset into the promised land. I can't take that mindset into the land that flows with milk and honey. They're going to destroy it before they ever get there. Let me tell you something. The way you move today is going to determine what you get in the future. The way you move today is going to determine how your future is laid out. So you can sacrifice and not pursue spiritual maturity today, and you can miss out on what God has for you in the future. Then the Lord tells him, I'm going to come down and talk with you there, Moses. And not only am I going to talk there, I'm going to take the spirit that's upon you, and I'm going to put it upon those other 70.
Ooh, hold up. Hold up. Y'all should have caught that right there.
Did you catch that? He said, I'm going to take the spirit that's upon you, Moses, and I'm going to put it upon them.
Is everybody following me? Right?
That means that the same way that Moses had access to God, I'm going to give it to them. Because they chose to work. Because they busy. I'm going to make them captains over my people. Why? Because they have the spirit that's upon you. I'm going to put it upon them. That means that you ain't going to just go to Sister J no more. You ain't going to go to Pastor Marquise no more. You're going to go to who?
Oh, hallelujah.
Let me tell you something. See, the spirit that was on Moses was this. Moses didn't run to mama and daddy. Why am I saying that, kids? Because how many, raise your hand if you got the Holy Ghost in here. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Almost the whole room has the Holy Ghost, right? So that means you done running to mama and daddy. You done. So Moses said, the anointing that was on Moses was this first. Moses went to God first, and then God would give him an instruction for the people. Right? Everybody still with me? So how that looks today is you have the same Holy Ghost as Sister Jay and Pastor Marquise. And the Bible says that there is wisdom in a multitude of counsel. So that means that the first place you go to is you go to the throne of God. And you say, Lord, I'm struggling here, or Lord, I'm struggling there, or I got this going on and I got that going on. I need help. Who is it that you can do that? What is it that I need to do? Or who is it that you want me to call and talk to? And then the Lord will open it up. You need to call this person because they have the answer. Why? Because their testimony fits what you're going through. That's where the wisdom of a multitude of counselors come from. But we want to run to somebody that's comfortable. I'm talking to my brother. Well, your brother might not have your answer. That's the only person that I could confide my business to is my brother. He might not have. But he got somebody that's relegated for that. Trust me. Amen. But he put the same spirit that was on them, on Moses, on them, so that they could carry the burdens of the people. And then Moses said, and say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. And then this is what ticks the Lord off. I almost said something different. I caught myself. And you shall eat the flesh, for you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt, therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and you shall eat. They were looking back. They were looking back. It was better for me there. It was better. You should not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month until it come out of your nostrils, and it's going to be loathsome unto you, because that you despise the Lord, which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we up out of the, I'm going to say sin. Why did you bring us up out of sin, Lord? It's easier to sin than it is to be holy. It's easy to turn up. I could tell you because I did it. But the moment I put my feet to the plow and I said, Lord, I'm walking this thing out with you, it was some of the toughest but most fulfilling days in my life when I figured out what God was trying to show me. It wasn't easy. But I tell you what, I wasn't looking back like, I sure wish I could go get a yak. I wasn't doing all that. I sure wish I could have a yak with blunt. I sure wish I can go to the Skyline Cafe or the Jimmy's or somewhere. Them was our clubs back in the day, in case y'all wondering what that is. I wish I could. Nah, heck nah. Because I understood that I got something greater. That's what spiritual maturity looks like. And then the more and more I walk with God and I talk to them, yeah, what happened? Oh, such and such is an alcoholic. Oh, such and such got 10 kids. Oh, such and such got this and got that. Oh, such and such is basically about to die. Blah, blah, blah. I just got a call the other day from one of my friends saying one of them is about to die because they addicted to drugs. Why? Because weed wasn't enough. It escalated to one thing after the next and after the next and after the next. And pretty soon they weren't able to get high on it no more, so they went to meth. And now they on meth and losing all their teeth. And now if you look at them, it ain't the same no more. So I realized, what am I? I never missed anything. I never missed anything. What do I have at night? Peace. Now I got a family member that called me. He said, I don't want nothing to do with you because you're in church. Okay. Fast forward up until a week ago. Now he's talking about, cousin, I'm hungry. No hello? Nothing, right? I'm too holy. I want to serve God, so you won't want nothing to do with me, but now you want something, now you need some food, right? So I start thinking, well, what's one day of food going to do? If you got something going on, you need something more than food. Next day he calls, he says, hey, I'm really weak, I'm really sick. Well, I know that God provides provision and victuals, so that don't move. I'm not just going to send a pizza to you. And because you're feeling some kind of way. It don't work like that. What's going on? There's more to it, right? See, sometimes you got to investigate. And if they don't want to hear, oh, well, you tell them anyway. And you let them go on and bask in that. You tell them anyway. Well, hey, man, you in that situation, because I just found out that your daddy said he already had a house for you. He already had a place for you to stay. He had provision. He had victory. And he even had a job for you. See, that's wisdom. But God said, call his daddy. Anyway. So now, when you look at it, they're complaining about God. They're looking backwards. Why? Because their mind wasn't made up. Right? The Lord says, I got the promised land for you, a land that flows with milk and honey. But their mind wasn't made up that that's what they want. Right? See, God will give you promises on earth, and he'll give you promises that are relegated to heaven. And both of them have value. Right? But see, when you're not lining up with God, then the prophecy's not going forward for you to look towards anything. Why? Because your mindset isn't on God. But when your mindset is on the things of God, he'll start giving you things to look for here that's going to keep you right here, and that's going to keep you safe here until it's time to obtain what you're going to get there. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. When I read this, I stopped, and the Lord took me to scripture in Matthew, where it says that when he cleansed out basically a temple, when he delivers somebody from spiritual oppression, that demon goes back, and it gets seven other devils, and it comes back, and it's seven times worse.
right? So the Lord laid that scripture on. I'm like, okay, Lord, what do the two have in common? Well, what the two have in common is when the children of Israel begin to, when they begin to murmur and they begin to complain, and the fire came in and it consumed. The Bible says it killed some of those people. That's how it came through. So when it consumed those people, see, the Lord was showing the correlation to it for us today is when you come to the altar and he's delivered you and you look back and you go back and start picking up all the things that he delivered you from, you come back worse than what you was before. Why? Because you was in midst of fire and you light the fire instead of the water. Oh, hallelujah. Bible says that the murmuring, the complaining angered the Lord, and the people, instead of going to the Lord, right, instead of talking to God right there, you see the fire come through. Like, I'm like, okay, Lord, like, for real, you got my attention. I mean, if you just standing there and all of a sudden you got fire that's just surrounding you and encompassing you, I ain't going to Moses. I'm not going to Moses. I'm like, Lord, hey, like, this what? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just me. I don't know about y'all, but if I see fire, it's just place and it's hot, and it's so hot that it done burned up JZL and Whitney over here. She didn't disintegrate. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. What do I need to do to get it right? That's my mindset. I'm not running to go and find Moses. Hey, Moses, fix this. No, heck nah. Lord Jesus, what is it, Lord? It's fire everywhere. Is there a path out of this? What do I need to do? Because I ain't worried about everybody else. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Taberah means dry and deserted. So that means that when you look back, you got them people that's on the island on their own. They fell off and they went back to sin. And they think that it's cool to sit out there and be like, I'm by myself. It's my business. And Yolanda come in and say, you ain't got no business. You know, everybody... You see, that's Taberah. That's Taberah because you went into that land and you're in a burning furnace and it's getting hotter by the minute. But you're isolated and you have no way out. That's what happens when you look backwards. Paul said, press forward. You looking back. I got promises over here, but ooh, he's cute. I got promises over here. I sure need a bag. Oh, I got promises over here. Oh, my God. And all you got to do is make up your mind to move this way. Just keep moving. Just keep moving. You'll start seeing everything falling in place. Everything will fall in place here and there and so on and so forth. You'll get what you need. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. The children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of delium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground in mills and beat it in mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it, and the taste of it was the state of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. They were reminiscing about their life in sin. They were reminiscing about how it was so easy for them to live that way. Woo! That means that your mindset and your heart ain't right if you can dwell out there in sin knowing that something that is greater is living inside of you. That means something is wrong with you. And you have the opportunity to fix that at the altar. Every time that mindset rises up, I have the opportunity to fix it. Why? Because God has blessed me with another day. That's what his grace does. You see, the preaching of the word isn't just supposed to make us feel good. It's supposed to lead us, right? The preaching of the word leads us. It guides us. I'm not exempt. I'm half sick and good one day and bad the next day. Why? Because God is using it to focus me up. I understand that. I accept that. And I love it, Lord, because it's correction. It's grievous in the moment, but it yields forth peaceable fruit. That means he was using it to focus me up because we need to talk. But they're reminiscing about how good it was to be in sin. Stand with me. They were reminiscing about how good it is to sin. Reminiscing about how good it was to live in sin. And the Lord said, you need to have a different mindset before you enter into the promised land. Reminiscing. You know, I'm not going to get all political on you as we close. But how many of you vote Democrat? Raise your hands. Be honest. I ain't going to smash you. Raise your hand, Democrats. It's okay. Raise your hands. Some people are like, I ain't about to say nothing. I know it's more Democrats in here, buddy. Praise God. Praise God. One of the biggest deceptions of the Democratic Party is similar to what I just preached on. The biggest deception of the Democratic Party is to make you think that they have minorities' well-being in their hands and it was in the best interest of minorities. So what they've been good for doing is making sure that people who are capable of getting up and working, people who are capable of having something if they put their heads to the plow, they've made it a goal of theirs to make sure that you're dependent on the government. So what do? They give you Section 8. They give you Section 8. They give you TANF. They give you food stamps. They give you everything that you might need. You know, you do need some of this stuff. But it's just a stepping stone to getting out of that position. Right? It's what it's supposed to be. But what happens is they get so dependent upon it that they can't break out of the mold and obtain the promises of God. Because God doesn't want your government providing for you. He wants to provide for you. He says he wants you to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, first and not the last. So that means that if you're supposed to be the head, he wants you owning your own stuff. Not depending on the government to take care of it for you. He wants you to get up and have your own. That's why they want to de-weaponize and do all of these different things. Why? Because they need you to be totally dependent upon them. And when you go and do your research, that's all they've done for Democrats, or Democrats have done for the people, to keep you at a low state so that you wouldn't rise up, because they know at the moment that you rise up against them, they can say, we can take this from you and you'll pipe back down. But see, when you go to God, and God is the author and the finisher and the provider, he's going to give you everything that you need. He's going to lead you down that path of righteousness for his name's sake. He's going to provide the things that you need. He's going to open up the floodgates of heaven and bless you. Why? Because I'm a living testimony. How do I know? Because when God was telling us to get rid of everything, we had to go and get some of the benefits. The Lord said, you ain't going to stay here. I'm just going to take you there so you can show them how to come up out. And guess what? It takes work. You got to work. You see, the problem with the children of Israel is it was easier for me to live in Egypt. Why? Because everything was being brought to me and given to me. So now God is telling me, not only do I got to get up, I got to walk, I got to march, I got to get all the way to the promised land, which was how long since? It was an 11-day journey. So they could have attained the promised land in 11 days if their mindset was right. But because their mindset wasn't right, it took 40 years. And he killed them all off with the bad mindsets. But see, we got enough Holy Ghost in here tonight. See, ain't you thankful that Jesus is still graceful and merciful? I'm thankful that we have the dispensation of grace, because that means that every morning grace is renewed. That means that when I repented today, that God forgot about what I did. But that don't mean that I need to be looking back for what I was and what I wanted to be back in the day. I need to keep pushing forward like Paul said. I need to keep pursuing spiritual maturity. I need to keep moving forward. Why? Because I know that that's God's will for me. You see, the altars are open. You might not think you need prayer, but you might need to rededicate yourself.
I challenge you today to have a made-up mind. I challenge you. I challenge you. I dare you to come to the altar and bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, I know I ain't where I need to be. I know I'm not where you want me to be. But Lord, I'm willing right now to allow you to work on my mindset. I'm willing to relegate what I think is the right answer and give it to you, Lord, to trust you. Halaboshataya. You see, you ain't got to worry. See, this is the problem right here when pride gets in the midst. I don't want nobody to know that that's me. But see, when it comes to your God, he already, there's nothing that will be kept secret. Bring it to him right now. You have the opportunity to get it right. Hallelujah. You have the opportunity right now to bring it to God and ask him to change your mindset. You have the opportunity. Come on. Spend some time with him. Yes. You see, this altar call is for you and your God. Father, I just need you to give me a new mindset. Help me to see life and help me to see things the way you see it. Help me, Lord God, to see myself as you see me. Help me, Father, to not look backwards and desire for the things that you told me that you wanted to deliver me from. Help me to press towards that mark. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Hatalaboshataya. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Bask in the presence of the Lord. We don't have that much time before we have to give up the building. But come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Yes, Lord. I give it to you, Jesus. 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 I don't want to look back. I want to press forward. Hallelujah. Jesus.
If you meet us at the altar, take me there, take me there. What you need is just an offering. It's right here, my life is here. I will be a little